From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, one thing I can tell you for sure, after almost 12 years of doing this program and also 26 years of doing the other job that I do, I have the utmost respect for volunteer organizations who take it upon themselves to help. And in this case, help find the missing. You know, and I know, and my listeners know, that I've worked very long and hard with Texas Equisearch on this program over the years, covering the Natalie Holloway story and many, many, many other missing persons that they have gone out and looked for. I have covered other missing person organizations that have volunteers to go out and look for people. And that's why tonight I thought we'd come on and we would do a special program this evening about Kaylee Marie Anthony. No media spokesperson can gag me from talking to the people that I'm going to talk to tonight. I have Joseph Jordan. He's a board member with Save Kaylee, Save Abuse Victims Everywhere. And their website is www.mumsforjustice.org. He and other bloggers down in Orlando have been out and they've been searching for Kaylee Marie Anthony. And I have said that for a long time on this show. In fact, when I was allowed to interview Cindy Anthony, I even said that to her and suggested organizations like Texas Equisearch and all that, because finding evidence, finding Kaylee, is a big piece of this puzzle. And I want to welcome Joseph Jordan to the show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm great. And again, I want to thank you and your volunteers for the work that you're doing to help find Kaylee. This is a story, and another story from the Orlando area that I've covered very heavily is the Jennifer Kessy story. Her dad, Drew, has been on my program, 10, 12 times. And it is so sad when you see a loved one that has gone missing and you want to do what you can to help, and I think you guys are doing great work by trying to help in this totally bizarre story. Your thoughts on the story itself, and then what got your group into going out to search?
I'm kind of on the fence with a lot of the things that have come out in this case.
Sure.
And I think mainly it's just touched a lot of people in this community and around the world. I have a 2-year-old daughter and I have a 7-year-old son, and when we see these cases happen, it captivates you, and you just want to know what happened to this little girl. And my thoughts are there's a lot of stuff that we don't know that the Orange County Sheriff's Office, I'm sure, it is aware of, that's not bringing it out to the public. One of my major concerns in the beginning of this case was the MySpace records and the Facebook records. In the beginning, there were comments all over them, and at this point, a lot of them have been deleted, and it raises some questions about who is doing this and why they're doing this.
And, you make such a valid point, and it's a point that a lot of the high-priced commentators on TV, cable news shows, etc., haven't covered. They keep talking about, and, to be honest with you, I'm on the fence on some of these issues, too. They keep talking about the focus on Kaylee, her being in custody, the grandmother, and the media. It was almost like a paparazzi swarm around their home, yet everyone that, like myself, that asked, is there actually a search going on? And we asked that for several weeks for you know, God forbid, a body or at least some evidence, there were no answers. It's so important for law enforcement to keep things close to the vest, but it wasn't happening because there were a lot of leaks that were coming out to some cable news shows, and I think that was making the case even more difficult because it was being, you know, spun certain ways. Now we have, you know, bounty hunters and media spokespeople that are coming into the fray, and it's just, you know, it angers me somewhat because the whole focus of finding this little girl seems to go on to now about a dopey bounty hunter and his television show, and a media spokesperson who's talking more about books that he's written in the past than what's actually happening with the case. Your thoughts?
Sure, and I completely agree with you. And personally, say I'm one of many people that are involved in this search. And I think what separates our group from the rest of these groups that have television shows and are used to this media frenzy is that we don't really there's no egos involved here. We're not concerned with 15 minutes of fame. I know a few of the individuals in our group have been accused of it in some of the forums online. But I have to say, the two individuals that organized this search party originally, their names Wyatt and Cookie, these people have just such open hearts, and they truly, they only want to find this little girl, whether it be a positive or negative outcome. I think we want to find her alive, obviously, but closure to this would also be, you know, something that these people are looking for. You know, ultimately, this team is so great. We have so many different people, different backgrounds. Everybody brings something to the table, and we can look at this in so many different ways. You know, we've received so much support from the worldwide community, people that can't be there. We have them donating flyers, yard signs, postcards, business cards, anything with Kaylee's face on it that we can distribute or they can distribute. I personally, I'm from Philadelphia, and I spoke to a few of my family members up there and some people that I know that went out to Arizona for this last week, and they didn't even know about this case. And there's still a lot of people that have not been exposed to it, believe it or not.
Yeah, that is.
It's been on these national media outlets. And those people that don't watch these big news programs, we still got to get the word out to them that there is a missing little girl. And we try not to be judgmental about that. Everybody has their own opinion on this case, but we just all come together and, you know, we pass these flyers out. We search for evidence. But, you know, eventually more evidence is going to surface, and anyone that knows anything, you know, should come forward now, even if it doesn't seem important.
Yep.
The sheriff's office is looking at it seriously.
Absolutely, and their websites, and we'll get into that here in a little minute. If you're just tuning in, Joseph Jordan is here. He and some other bloggers are out looking for evidence answers in the disappearance of Kaylee Anthony in Orlando, Florida. And for those of you that don't know the news yet, of course, we've all heard, seen, and read about this dopey bounty hunter coming from California who was going to try and get Casey Anthony released. Apparently, that didn't happen today. There are some holds on her bond. I guess they're going to try and do that tomorrow. Where has your group been searching, Joe?
Well, I just came in on it about a week ago. Like I said, there were some original people that organized the search, but we have focused on, we've started meeting at Blanchard Park, but we did focus on the Econ Soccer Complex and the Blanchard Park. And a lot of people say, well, how come you guys are so focused on in that area? But if you've ever been to the area and you've ever been to Blanchard Park, it's basically a park that's connected to the Conowaka-Hatchie Trail, which goes for miles and connects many little parks and many wooded areas to this one park. And there are just so many places that evidence could be discovered, as we've seen in Blanchard Park. I personally discovered a gas can that was off the side of the road. It may not be related. We don't know, but we're letting the sheriff's office sort that out. As far as the rest of the items, we did find in the Econ soccer complex the women's underwear, the backpacks, the women's clothing, the children's clothing, and pantyhose. We have a disposable camera, and like we said, a lot of this stuff may not be related to this case. Maybe it's related to another case. Maybe it's not related at all. But the more that we bring to the table, hopefully, the more answers we can get. And if it's not related, we tried. We did our part.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the criticism, and I don't agree with it, but I'll bring it up and get your response to it, is that when civilian groups like yours are out searching for evidence, that you may destroy evidence in your, good faith effort. I'm assuming that when you find something or when you see something, you stop, you call law enforcement, and they come in and take it, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, we have a very, very, very strict rule within our group, and that's why we have kept it kind of small in that aspect. We do want some sort of order and control over it, where we can say, that these are the rules. And mainly what we do is stick to commonly walked paths and trails. We try not to step into areas that we could potentially destroy any evidence. And, these are places that everybody walks on a daily basis anyway.
Sure.
And we try to, just keep our eyes open for things that we possibly see. And when we do find things, that's when we notify the sheriff's office and have them come out. We will not dig anything up. We will not touch anything. We don't want to compromise this investigation at all. And, the Orange County Sheriff's Office has taken our leads very seriously. They've been right on spot when we've notified them. And, we are currently working with the Orange County Sheriff's Office to join their organized search efforts. And they are asking that any new volunteers contact them directly, and I do have a phone number for them if anybody is interested.
Sure, give it up.
Getting involved. It's area code 407-254-7000, and the main reason in that aspect is they want to do a background check.
Yep.
Which is similar to these one-day background checks, from what I understand. And they just want to know what we're doing out there, and they don't want us to harm this investigation. They're doing things the right way. They this has a lot of attention, and as we know with the O.J. Simpson cases out there, and these little items can potentially ruin an entire investigation.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you get a group of bloggers, and I can speak to that from personal experience, you get a group of committed people, their heart is in the right place, you can't get a stronger, more organized group. And my next question, and you've answered it somewhat, Joe, is has the Orange County Sheriff's Department organized a search effort? We don't hear about it too much. I know there was some dives of a lake or a pond or something near the Anthony home. But can you tell us anything about the searches that the Orange County Sheriff Department will be doing?
Yes. From what I understand, we spoke to a sergeant deputy the other day who has requested that we join something more organized due to, the possibility that we could hinder an investigation. They want us to be on point to what we're allowed and what we're not allowed to do.
Sure, yeah.
And we pretty much follow those rules and regulations, but they just want us to continue under their wings, so to speak.
It's been widely reported, Joe, that there were some clothing items, you've mentioned it here, found the other day. Then also in the news reports, we're hearing about these cell phone pings that have been traced back to a wooded area near the Orlando airport. Do the two locations tie in at all together?
Well, I know that the media is putting out that... That there have been some pings to some wooded areas around the Orlando airport, but at the same time, I heard from one of the local channels when we had a couple individuals out in that area say that was actually a false lead.
Okay.
So I don't really know. Like a lot of things in this case, we don't really know what's true and what's not, and what is speculation. So I guess we take our own speculation and try to make it logical speculation.
Sure.
And you know, we're looking in an area where Casey did frequent quite often with Kaylee, and you know, it might be to throw us off. I don't know. But you know, this is probably you know, the closest that we don't know Casey, and we don't know her habits, and we're not the investigators, so we basically have to stick to these public areas because we're not allowed on private property anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
So you know, the best places to look are, you know, even the airport has certain areas where we're not going to be able to look.
Right.
But Blanchard Park is a public park. We can walk along that all day long, and I'll tell you, it will take weeks, if not months, to scour all the trails and the areas in there with the size group that we currently have.
Has the family or any of their representatives tried to contact you?
They have not. We have not been in contact with the family. You know, like I said, there's a lot of different opinions within the group, and we don't really take an official stance on what we believe and what we don't believe, and we don't want to cause the family any more stress than they're under right now.
Sure.
We want to respect their privacy at this point. You know, the best we can do is help them find Kaylee. You know. Or in that matter, find any evidence that could help to the location of Kaylee.
What's next? Are there searches planned for... I know you're going to be getting some nasty weather down there, but what's next in the schedule for searches?
Well, I think that's... we hit it hardcore this weekend because of that. We knew this was coming. After this storm, you know, it could potentially... damage anything that was out there. Not that it hasn't rained since then anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we're still on to continue searching in public areas. But at this point, we're in contact with the Orange County Sheriff's Office, and we're going to kind of let them take the lead and not interfere with their investigation. We want to do this right, and I think this is the best route to go. They seem to have a handle on this, and they are they've been very open to any leads they receive.
And that makes as much sense as any of this, and a lot of this case hasn't made much sense for sure. Joe, could you give that phone number out one more time to for those that are listening in that area that are interested in helping search?
Yes, the Orange County Sheriff's Office administrative line is area code 407-254-7000. And I believe they have a child abuse section that coordinates these types of efforts, or a missing persons section that coordinates these efforts.
Now, I would be remiss without asking you in our last 2 minutes here to tell me a little bit about your organization, SAVE.
Sure. Dave Kaylee, ironically, the founder's granddaughter's name was Kaylee with a K, She was involved in a case where her granddaughter, the father took her granddaughter into the emergency room with a torn labia, and since that point, they've gone to court. Child Protective Services has not done what's necessary to protect Kaylee, and basically, the Judge Mabel Mayfield out of Michigan, also did not take the steps necessary to protect Kaylee. So, we've gone on an extensive mission to do what we could to protect Kaylee. I came into this. I saw her on the Dr. Phil show and contacted the founder, Bonnie, and asked her what I could do to help her organization. And she was just herself at the time, not an organization. But we formed this organization to give the resources that we've created for ourselves to other families, such as providing legal fees for mothers and fathers that know that a child is being sexually abused or abused, and that the system is not doing what's necessary to protect that child.
Well, protecting children is what this is all about on my program, and we'll have to have you back on again, and we can talk more about your organization. Anyway, Joe, I want to thank you on behalf of my audience and all of the volunteers that are out there trying to help find Kaylee. Please pass on my best wishes and my thanks to them, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Dana.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Yep.
That's Joseph Jordan. He's a board member with Save Kaylee, Save Abuse Victims Everywhere. My name's Dana Pretzer, and I want to give you an opportunity now before we bring on Wendy Murphy, and I'm sure she'll have lots to say about this whole Anthony case, to call in and talk to me about your thoughts. It's grabbed media headlines. This story has gone every direction that it possibly can, except the right direction, where we find young Kaylee and get some answers as to what happened to her. Now, I've got about 8 minutes before the next segment. You call in and tell me what you think. Area code 306-842-7884. 306-842-7884. You can call in and we can talk. I won't keep you on the air very long because I know it's not a toll-free number. But I'm sure you've got some thoughts as far as the disappearance of Kaylee Anthony. Grandma and Grandpa, Casey, the lawyers, everyone involved. The story has just gone every possible way that it could. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, that didn't work. 306-842-7884. And if you do call in, please turn down your radio or your speakers, your internet connection, or however you're listening to us on satellite, wherever, because the feedback will screw you and me up for sure, and we won't be able to talk. 306-842-7884. And coming up, Wendy Murphy, former DA. She's a victims rights advocate. She's an author, and she's very outspoken, especially when it comes to cases like this. But I want to hear what you have to say now, because this whole case has just gone from, from soup to nuts. We've got bounty hunters involved now. We have media spokespeople. The grandparents are inundated every day. The family is inundated every day. We have heartless media people, and I'm using that term, asking questions that would anger anyone. We have media people going out and doing the job of law enforcement. This is something that, I guess we all have our own opinions, but it is something that has certainly made this case. And it was interesting to hear Joe Jordan say that there are people that haven't even heard of this case yet, and I believe that, but a lot have, and that there are a lot of people that certainly have their opinions, and I'm sure if you watch cable news tonight, you'll hear more of those opinions. I had interviewed Cindy Anthony, the grandmother, a few times, and, you know, the story just keeps going and going. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. Will cases be monitored, like recorded, wiretapped, when she's bailed out?
Well, what they'll do, and this is just an assumption, but what they'll do with an electronic monitoring device, and I think that's one of the reasons why she wasn't let out today, is it works through a telephone, and it's a it's a bracelet that's strapped to your ankle, and if you go out of the range of the monitor, then it advises law enforcement that you've taken off. But as far as any other monitoring goes, I don't think law enforcement will, first of all, talk about it, whether or not phones are being tapped, but the electronic monitoring is just specifically so she stays where she's supposed to stay.
Yeah, I guess I was curious because, you know, I remember with Scott Peterson, you know, all the wiretapping.
Well, electronic monitoring doesn't work very well. When Dog the Bounty Hunter's been on this program, he's talked about how Andrew Luster, the serial rapist, who's doing 124 years in jail now, just took a pair of scissors, cut his off, and took off to Mexico.
Right. Exactly. I've heard that's happened a lot.
What do you think of this cast of characters all of a sudden coming in here now?
You know, I swear I'm going to need a wig soon because every day I pull more hair out of my head.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's hard to... I'm sitting on the fence a little bit, too, because I think this whole situation has gone from bad to worse. You can't blame...
Right. When you think it can't get any worse, then we have this coming to town.
Oh, boy. A circus is right. All we need is, somebody selling peanuts and a clown act. In fact, I think the clown act is there.
You know, I have another question. You know, I can't figure out who's playing with who here and who's gotten who to... But, like, does this to deal with... Does he work with the attorney?
Yeah, you know, he's not saying, and I've been trying to get him on my program, but he's hard to reach. He's busy on the cable news shows, but apparently...
But I'm just wondering, like, if she says something to him and he tells a lawyer, he'll never know it.
Yeah, apparently he is working with the attorney, but I think there's a lot more to the story that we won't, you know, there's probably a book or a movie deal that's involved in this if they go and they get this girl out. But they'll never admit to that, but I'm sure there's a lot more to the story that, again, will cause you and I to pull more of our hair out. Anyway, thanks for calling.
That woman infuriates me, that Casey. She just infuriates me.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, 306-842-7884, in a couple of minutes we'll bring on Wendy Murphy to talk more about this case. And yeah, who's the bounty hunter, the bail bonds guy really working for? There was talk about a high profile media person. I wonder who that high profile media person is, or if that's even accurate. Who knows? You know, will Casey Anthony get out of jail tomorrow? Will some of the holds that have been talked about be lifted so she can be released? Will this actually bring conclusion to this case? Well, I hope so. I don't know. But it just makes you, you know, makes your skin crawl when you see some of the things that have been happening in this case actually happen, and all of a sudden you get this cast of characters plopping themselves in the middle of it right now. Of course, they're saying not for any publicity, but you and I know the difference to that. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back in a minute with Wendy Murphy here on Scared Monkeys Radio.
It's the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. And now back to the show.
Okay, we're back. One person that media representatives won't gag me from talking to is Wendy Murphy. She's a former DA, victims rights advocate, author, law professor, and one that I know will come on the air even if she had a media representative and talk to me anyway. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Dana. It's good to be with you.
Kaylee Anthony, doesn't matter where you are, everyone has heard of this case. It's turned into a three-ring circus, for lack of a better term. Some of the characters that have popped themselves into it now. We have bounty hunters. We have Hollywood people. Who knows what's really going on, except nobody's been able to find Kaylee. I'm sure you and I got lots to talk about on this case. Your thoughts?
Yeah, where to begin? Well, let me just say a couple things about the recent developments, because I think getting Hollywood involved, and, you know, we all know Larry Garrison, who I like. I mean, and, you know, it's his job that he wants to write books and connect with people and get their stories, and he has an absolute right to do that. So you can't blame him.
Nope.
But, of course, having the bounty hunters come from California, which is where Larry's from, people are asking questions about, you know, how that deal was structured, so that the book deal mixed together with the bounty hunters deal, which gets him good publicity for his show and so forth and so on. That story is its own little subplot, and although I don't see anything wrong about it, I think it's an interesting question. What effect, if any, will the involvement of these people have on the investigation? I suspect the answer is not a whole lot, even though the bounty hunter keeps saying, I'm going to get information out of her because she's going to be out of prison and she'll be in a comfortable environment. Maybe she'll have a couple of drinks, and who knows if she'll spill her guts. I don't see that happening. I don't think bounty hunters necessarily crack cases. I know some cops think they interfere with cases. I wouldn't go that far. But I do think it's interesting how these subplots develop. And, you know, it's us. We're all paying attention to this case, looking for every new little bit of information, waiting with bated breath to see if they find a body. And I think it's fair to say they're not going to find her alive. Most people don't think that. And the sources deep in the investigation that have said anything at all, mind you, anonymously, have made it pretty clear that they believe she's dead. And I suspect that's because of the decomposition material they found in the trunk, the details of which have not yet been released. But when people deep in the investigation are saying they think she's dead, I think one could draw the inference that they have a good reason for that. So what bothers me, Dana, is I don't mind this subplot. I worry that it's going to be distracting.
Right.
I don't want to be distracted. I don't like dog and pony shows. I don't like things that make us look over there when we should be looking over here. And I also get very distressed when I just kind of look logically at the role of the grandparents. You know, it's hard not to really be rageful toward the mom. You know, Casey is making everybody crazy. No one can see a rational explanation for how she's behaving, and that makes everybody angry. Because if it's your kid, you give everything, including the truth, your blood, anything. You give your life to help your child, and she's doing the opposite. So that makes sense. But then the grandparents, you think one step removed, if a grandparent had to choose between their child who's been misbehaving and lying and stealing and so forth, and the innocent little grandchild, you would expect grandparents to be honorable. And indeed, what you see is, I think, some rather suspicious behavior. And this is what I mean by that. If that grandmother knows, Cindy Anthony knows, that she smelled a dead body in her car. And let's be honest, there's no way you mix up an old pizza with a dead body.
No,
anyone
exactly.
Who's ever worked in this field knows those two smells have nothing to do with each other. So you know the smell of death when you smell it. And anyone who's ever come close to the smell of a dead body, you know, would be just as shocked as she was when she made that original 911 call. What made her change that? You know, that attitude of, I am going to do whatever it takes, including turning on my own daughter, because this is a little child, my grandchild, my flesh and blood grandchild, defenseless, innocent child. What made her change from that attitude to, I'm suddenly wearing T-shirts saying, let's find the little girl, and I love my daughter, and I'm, you know, what made her start to participate in what I'm calling the kind of cover-up show? I don't know, and I don't know whether there's a simple explanation or a complicated explanation, but the fact that she shifted gears, I think, is really important. And I guess at the end of the day, what I keep thinking to myself is the most significant development to me, Dana, that nobody wants to talk about, or not nobody wants to talk about, nobody has talked about. It's not that she's getting out and there's a bounty hunter and all that distracting stuff. It's that a whole new type of detective entered the home earlier this week. Well, I shouldn't say earlier this week, but recently, in the past several days. a detective from the sex crimes unit
yep.
entered the home. That is a major development. Now, I realize that that came out alongside a notation that said, well, you know, we're just trying to redevelop relationships. Baloney. That's cover. That is such cover. You don't send a sex crimes detective into a case like this and say you're just trying to develop friendships or however they described it, or, you know, the detective once knew the family or some such nonsense. Because that, you know, that's not a rational explanation for adding that kind of detective to the package, to the investigative package. So I think we should be talking about why that person showed up, what they believe, and where their angles have been taking them. Because as much as the public is saying, and I'm one of them, I'm one of the people in the public saying, none of this makes any sense. You know that the investigators in this case have an awful lot more information than we do. And they know, they have a very strong suspicion what happened to this child. And I think it's fair to say they think it has something to do with sex crimes.
Well, yeah, we haven't heard yet, and you're right, and the media didn't pick up on that detective going to visit the family. But because of the distractions, like you say, the media has focused more on Larry Garrison and Leonard Padilla and anyone else that's involved in this, and we really don't know the big story. Now, I'm going to ask you to put your DA hat on for a minute. You've got a suspect in custody, a reasonably high bail, I guess some would argue too high, some would say too low. You're trying to do what you can with trained investigators, FBI, whoever, to get mom to talk, and for whatever reason, at least that we know here, maybe she is talking and they just haven't released that yet, she's not saying anything, and this case is going sideways. You're a DA, your suspect gets released tomorrow because the bounty hunter put up the cash. What do you do now?
Yeah, well, good question. The answer to that is highly dependent on what I know that the public doesn't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's speculate a little bit. One thing that's really important to recognize is that if they believed it would be strategically beneficial to the investigation to reveal the test results of the DNA and the, you know, the decomposition material that was reportedly found in the trunk, we would all know about that by now if they thought it would help their case. And obviously they've been squeezing her since the beginning, and she hasn't squeezed much. She hasn't responded much. So they don't believe, I think it's fair to say, they don't believe at this point that releasing some of the other evidence, including, for example, the results of the forensic testing, would get her to say anything more or to reveal more. And, you know, one could say that they're not all that disappointed that she's getting out, because look what happened in the Scott Peterson case.
Exactly.
He was walking around, being tracked, mind you, by bodies and a GPS device on his car, and it actually helped build a case against him, because we know that he started to head south. And I don't think that's necessarily going to happen here, but the point is that things can happen when somebody's out that can't happen when somebody's in, because they're very protected when they're behind bars. Now, the other thing that I think is interesting is thinking about the role of money in this case and what has been happening pretty much again since the beginning, is that the reward money is huge. $250,000, it might even be higher by now.
Right.
That's a lot of money. And the reason that's a lot of money is people who know something about what's been going on here have the feeling that in order to smoke out people who know something, they've got to pay an awful lot of money, which leads me to believe there's some big pile of dough behind the scenes in terms of what the motive is for why this child might be dead. Again, pure speculation, but when you see that kind of reward out there, you know it's because the incentive to remain silent must be tied to a huge amount of money. So what else can you do when someone's behind prison bars? You've charged them with whatever you can, but it's a trivial crime, relatively speaking. You know she's not speaking, not only because she appears terrified, which may or may not be true, but also she's got a lawyer on board. And that's never going to change. That her asserting her Fifth Amendment rights is absolutely fair, but that's not going to change unless, of course, and I said this in the beginning, unless, of course, there's a deal to be made. And, you know, her lawyer said something interesting on a show with me several weeks ago. I'm sorry, no, he wasn't on the show with me, but they were quoting him. he said he had done an interview with Megyn Kendall on the Fox News channel. He said, you know, we're trying to get information to the police. We want to get information to the police. And that was code for we're trying to make a deal of some sort.
Yeah.
Because obviously if you want information to get to the cops, it's pretty easy to do. So that language made me believe that they were perhaps interested in creating some kind of bargaining process. And that obviously didn't happen because the investigation didn't move forward. And we know that because she's not being charged with murder. She's being released probably tomorrow. Now, there could be so much more to this release tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think there is. I think if the police believed there was an incentive to, there was a good reason from an investigative perspective to let her out, they would have done it on their own. They wouldn't have needed to get Larry Garrison and a bounty hunter from California on board. They would have done it some other way, reduced the bail on their own, or, you know, at some point made a decision to not charge her and indeed watch her carefully but let her go. Because, again, you could develop good evidence when a suspect is free to roam. So it remains to be seen how they're going to continue to squeeze her. Clearly, they tried squeezing family members, taping the conversations with Casey from the jail.
Yep.
Much of it to no avail. But I'll tell you where there's been a lot of progress. We just haven't heard it. It's in the law enforcement search for these other people, these people who she's either named or falsely named or kind of named, and their identifications and who they were and what they were doing at that apartment. All that stuff is very much being developed, but it's just not being reported. So I think we have to be a little bit circumspect and stop assuming that just because it hasn't been reported in the news, the case must be going in the wrong direction because she's getting out tomorrow. It could be that she's going to get out tomorrow, and she'll be arrested for murder a week from now.
Exactly. If you're just tuning in, Wendy Murphy is here. We're talking about the Kaylee Anthony case. Early on, when we saw Grandma and Grandpa, we saw Greta Van Susteren take a tour of their house, and we saw them come out and smile and talk. And until recently, and that even goes with me because I've talked to Cindy and George Anthony both off the air and on the air, where off the air you could hear that emotion in their voice. George Anthony broke down as he and I talked. On the air, all of a sudden this smile came out. It looked like Larry was working his magic, how to smile for the camera and take your cue and here's your mark. But now you're seeing George Anthony screaming at the reporters when they ask a stupid question, what's your comment? When some reports are coming out saying your granddaughter's dead, he challenges them, tells them to shut up, and there's a bunch of bleeps. How does that affect the investigation when you know that Grandma and Grandpa are a big part of it? You're seeing one persona on TV, but you're seeing another persona off TV.
Well, you know, and I made mention of this a couple minutes ago, but I am very suspicious when the grandparents not only shifted their attitude from, we love our grandchild so much, we'll even put our own daughter, you know, on the line, because that's why she called 911 and reported the smell of death and was complaining that she'd stolen money and so forth in her car. Then all of a sudden they become her great protector. That to me is part of a cover-up. I mean, it's my opinion, and it may be that it's a cover-up for all the right reasons, but it smacks of a cover-up, the fact that the parents are now engaged in behavior that looks like a performance as opposed to a truly sad set of grandparents worried about this child, just emoting. And you know, I think of Natalie Holloway's mother.
Yep.
She went on every program and just kind of spilled her guts and cried, and her hair was a mess if it had to be. And she did whatever had to be done because it was pure emotion, desperation. I want to solve this crime. I want to find my daughter's body. She behaved in a way that was consistent with someone taking advantage of the media for all the right reasons, unlike the grandparents here, who you see more, I see them more as kind of acting for the purpose of distracting. And I really resent the whole red herring approach to criminal investigation, because lots of good people want to help. Lots of good people want to help solve this case.
Yep.
Lots of good people are out there giving up their own time to search and so forth. And you know, they get their information in part from these grandparents. And if the grandparents are misleading the public to believe that this child is alive, that causes a very serious waste of human resources, financial resources, and it drives me crazy because, you know, there's a constitutional right to remain silent, a constitutional right to shut up. There's no constitutional right to lie or to engage in this kind of performance art and exploitation of the media. The media will let them do it all day long because it's great ratings. And you can't blame the media, but you can blame the people involved. They should either be quiet or be honest. Those are the only two truly fair choices that are, you know, fair, that have integrity. And so I feel manipulated, frankly, by the T-shirts that say we're searching for her, you know, angel come home, butterfly come home, whatever those shirts are. I feel terribly manipulated about that because I guarantee you the grandparents know what that forensic evidence is. And they know whether the child is alive or dead, and they are acting like they are certain she's alive. The police don't believe she's alive. The grandparents are acting like she's alive. That's not right. That's just not right.
Well, you know, and I don't care if it's Larry Garrison or Ed McMahon that's there speaking to the media, coming in late on a case, not really knowledgeable with the facts. That media presence is still going to stay there, and they're going to stick a mic in George and Cindy Anthony's face every time. And when Casey gets out, watch the media flurry then. You and I have talked many, many, many times about trying a case in the media. Again, as a DA, what's your thoughts about this? Because you're going to end up going to court with something eventually, and this thing's been all over the media. Maybe this is a good sign for the DA this time.
You know, it's hard to answer that question without the insight and access to information that the cops have.
Right.
And or foresight. You know, if I could only know what they're likely to do in the future, it'd be easy for me to tell you what this dog and pony show, what effect it will have on the investigation and the potential prosecution. I will tell you this. What's unfair, and this, we've seen this in so many cases, you know, the Ramsey case, is so many cases where the
That's
prosecution is not allowed to tell the truth about the evidence because they can get in trouble. If the prosecutor goes out and says, here's the evidence, here's how strong my case is, here's the DNA, here's the confession, here's how rock solid the case is.
Yep.
The prosecutor does that. The defense attorney goes to court, screams and yells, it's unfair, it's prejudicial, it's pretrial prejudicial publicity. You know, I can't get a fair trial. Dismiss the charges. Unfair. And sometimes, indeed, that is the result. They say it's just not fair to put all that strength of the case out there. You're tainting the jury pool and so forth. The defense, on the other hand, can just go out there and fill the airwaves with slop, with absolute nonsense, complete false information. And there's absolutely nothing the prosecutor can do about it. And so what it can do is potentially fill all the jurors who may or may not one day ever be seated in this case, but all the jurors to be are absorbing this information. And like it or not, let's say there's a jury trial 2 years from now, every single one of those jurors will have heard something about this case, and you, whether you tell them to forget about it or not, it's in them. It's in their software pattern. As they're assessing this case, they're going to be thinking to themselves, well, wait a minute now, the grandparents said the child was alive. Well, you know, the grandparents said blah, 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 or the mom said X, Y, and Z. It's not fair evidence. It may even be outright false, but it becomes, in a sense, a backdoor way of getting fake evidence into the jury's minds in advance of trial, because the defense can do whatever it wants. Taking advantage of the media is not a constitutional right, but it happens all the time. No one stops it. And so, you know, it may not undermine the investigation, but it could have an effect on the jury's sense of what the truth is if one day, hopefully, the case does go to trial.
Well, I think this is the beginning of a big, big story that we haven't heard the end of yet. And, Wendy, I'm sure you and I will talk more about it. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure, Dana. Thanks so much. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's former DA Wendy Murphy, author of And Justice for Some. And are we going to see justice for Natalie Holloway and Jennifer Kessie and Kaylee Anthony and I could go on and on and on all night? Or are we going to see more media more different stories, more characters, more bounty hunters, more media people, more clowns getting involved just because they want to help. The bounty hunter, if he gets the reward, he's going to put it into a trust for the little girl. I hope he does. I hope he does. But then the publicity that he's getting on every network, every channel, every radio station, every internet web page doesn't even come close to $250,000 or $225,000. You can times that by 10. Will we get answers? Will we get justice for Natalie? Will we get justice for Kaylee? I hope so someday, because we've been talking about these stories, especially the Holloway case, for a long, long time. And look at how that one went every direction. And I think Wendy Murphy said it best. You saw Beth Holloway on TV. She was on as a mom. She didn't have a media representative on there talking for her. She was on there, and like Dave Holloway told me one time, moving hell and earth, if necessary, to find their daughter. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. Well, we've got about 5 minutes to take a few more calls. If you're interested, 1-306-842-7884. 1-306-842-7884. What do you think of this case? Kaylee Anthony, will she be found? Will Casey Anthony get out of jail? You know, will she actually get out of jail sometime? Joe Jordan just sent me an email saying the system is built for people that are on trial. It is not built for the victim. And that is so true. The victim has no rights. They say they do, and we fight like hell for them. You know, Becca, you know, we can go on and on and on and on and on. You know, you have all sorts of different victims that we can talk about till... Well, I could do a whole two-hour show just reading off names. Anyway, 1-306-842-7884 if you'd like to sneak in a quick call. I will remind you that our webpage is located at www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. That's www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. And ask, when we do take calls and I give out the telephone number, only call when the show is live. Do not call when the show is being played on podcast. At the website, you can podcast shows from, I think they've got about two or three years worth on there. Daily commentaries, you can listen to the show live. You can do whatever you have to do. We will continue covering the Kaylee Anthony story, getting information here for the radio show or at scaredmonkeys.com when we can. Breaking news, breaking information, because it is so important. You know, when you talk to families, you, as a media person, as a reporter, as a whatever you want to call me, you try to keep, you know, an open mind. At least I tried to kind of ride the fence, is the term we've used, and it's difficult to not fall off the fence on one side or the other on this one. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back here in a couple of minutes, finish off the show, and see if anyone wants to sneak in a call in between time. So we'll be right back here on the Dana Pretzer Show.
And now, more of the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. Here's Dana.
Okay, we're back. I was going to give you, well, I will give you, and read into this as you may, the website regarding the missing Kaylee Anthony, it was, or maybe still is, www.helpfindkaylee.com. Well, it's not working for me. It looks like the page has gone down. Read into that as you may. It was an excellent resource and maybe still is as far as Kaylee Anthony. Maybe the family and their media spokesperson has decided to take that information down. I'm not sure, or it could just be a server problem with that. Regardless, I thought that was an interesting piece of news that you may be interested in. Anyway, I'm going to finish up. I'll give you one more chance to call in if you like. 306-842-7884. We'll take a quick comment from you before I end the show and remind you that we'll be back here again real soon with more programming. And to go to scaredmonkeys.com for all your news and information. And And can you get a more concerned group than people who blog? The ones with the hearts that care. And Joe Jordan is an example of that. And, of course, all the people at scaredmonkeys.com are the same. And let's hope that Kaylee Anthony can be found. And that the answers towards the SAT case can be brought forward, because there are a lot of them out there, ones that we just don't have the answers for today. Anyway, the radio station is found at scaredmonkeysradio.com, and my name's Dana Pretzer. Good night. You can email me at dana@scaredmonkeys.com, dana@scaredmonkeys.com, anytime you like, and we will be able to get back to you. Oh, good. I'm glad. And I forgot about this. I'm remiss. Joe Jordan's did email me quick. You can still get flyers about Kaylee if the Help Find Kaylee webpage is actually down or has been taken down at Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H-S, Jordan. So Joseph S. Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, .com/Kaylee. Joseph S. Jordan, .com/Kaylee. There are flyers about the missing Kaylee Anthony. Thank you all. Good night, and we'll see you again real soon on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.